Hello, welcome to Spiritual Warfare. My name is Teresa, and today I will be reading from the book, Don't Give the Enemy a Seat at Your Table. Kay really will be back with me next week. I just wanted to finish some of these chapters on lies, but I do want to share something. I started attending another church, and I really like it. Today, a lady shared something with me. We were at the table talking after church, and she said, "My husband left me. I was married for 40 years, and he left me and married somebody as soon as our divorce was final. He married someone 20 years younger than me." It's just heartbreaking how the enemy is just deceiving so many people. But she met somebody at church, and he is a wonderful, wonderful man. They dated for like 3 years, and they're now married. She showed us her ring, and she was just so happy, and you could just see new life into her. So I'm just really thankful that God blessed her and helped her through that rough patch in her life. I haven't had a chance to discuss it with her. It was a quick conversation, but it just shows how he's working overtime, especially with people in the church, with Christians, because those are the people he wants to bring down and bring down hard, and hoping that they'll walk away from God. I don't know if he walked away from God or not, but I know she didn't. She is very active in the church. She has a smile back on her face, and God blessed her. So when that happened to her, she became stronger. And it's really hard, but we have that choice. Whether we want to stay in the pit and be sad and wallow in it, or are we going to get up and fight? I say get up and fight. No person is worth being depressed, wallowing, feeling sorry for yourself. They're not worth it. So kudos to God, and kudos to the nice man that she's with now, and just seeing her thrive and be stronger, and she didn't walk away from God. I will be reading The Lie of Worthlessness. Third, if you're hearing I'm not good enough, the enemy is at your table. Now, we've got to be really careful about this lie, because Scripture calls us to be humble. But as it's been well said, humility is not thinking less of yourself. Humility is thinking of yourself less. We easily get these confused by thinking it honors God for us to think less of ourselves. But nothing could be further from the truth. You are made in the very image of God. That staggering reality doesn't cause us to strut around and grow. It's an all about me persona. But it doesn't leave us wallowing in the misery of, I don't measure up to anything either. These two outcomes are where the devil wants to lead you. Either to an overinflated ego, or to be underappreciated sense of just how significant and valuable you are. In this instance, I'd love to encourage you, if you tend to gravitate towards the latter camp, you just don't feel like you're enough, no matter what you've accomplished or how much truth from God's word you've heard over the years, you just don't believe you're enough. Maybe someone told you you'd never amount to anything, or maybe a spouse walked away, a parent bailed, or the right man or woman you've longed for never walked through the door. Maybe you've always wished you looked like someone else, or had the gifts that a friend has, or maybe a dump truck of guilt backed into your story at some point and unloaded a pile of shame on you. No matter how hard you try, no matter what you do in your mind, it's never enough. And if you feel that way, certainly everyone else heartily agrees. Oh, sure, they're nice to your face, but you know how they really feel. Here's one thing you need to know. The Not Enough Anthem was composed in the pit of hell. It's crippling, debilitating, paralyzing, suffocating. It didn't come from the Good Shepherd. If you're hearing it and repeating it, there must be an enemy at your table. This lie isn't a reflection of true humility. It's a club that beats you over the head. The lie whispers to you that you're useless. You will never have what it takes. Have you been called to lead a small group at your church? This lie insists it can't be done. Have you been called to lead your family with integrity and compassion and kindness and strength as a wife and mother who follows God? This lie tells you that you're not good enough. You're never going to amount to anything. So you don't even bother trying. Do you believe that God loves you because he created you and calls you his love child? This lie tries to convince you that you're a spiritual reject. You're a worthless sinner who will always be a worthless sinner. You're not God's child. He hates you. Instead, look across the table, lock eyes for a moment with the one who's sitting across from you. Do you see scorn and feel shame? Or do you notice the scars on the hands that hold your water glass and the pitcher that's being lifted to fill it with a refreshing drink? Sure. Jesus is holiness personified, but the Holy One invited you here, booked the table, prepared the meal, sat down to join you, and this reservation cost him everything. In the beautiful comparative picture we have of the Good Shepherd in John 10, Scripture tells us Jesus lays down his life for the sheep. Verse 11. Jesus has put it all on the line to be sitting at the table with you. Don't give the enemy a seat at your table. This is the lie of me against the world. I was talking to a guy not long ago who told me he had just quit his job. And I asked why. He said everybody hated him at the place he worked. He mentioned the company and I thought he worked at a different company, so I named it. No, he said, I worked for the other company a few years back. I quit working there too. Everybody there was against me. Sometime later, I found out that he had left his wife. I asked him what happened, and he summed up their situation by saying, her parents never liked me from the start, and everyone in her family hated me. Really, I thought? When you believe the lie that everybody is against you and you're convinced everybody hates you, everybody at your job hates you, everybody in your family hates you, everybody in your church, your pastors, your professors, your parents, your children, your friends, your colleagues, your neighbors, even the waiter spit in your soup. If you're hearing a voice that tells you everybody is against you, the enemy is sitting at your table. It's the voice of fear-based, a logic of paranoia, a voice that encourages you to mistrust everybody in your life. Certainly, there are subtle forms of this lie. The enemy is great at sowing seeds of doubt, at working to undermine your confidence about what God says is true about you. You might not exactly hear the word hate, but maybe you are hearing yourself say words like, well, that person didn't even look up when I walked into the office. I bet she doesn't like me. See those people talking over there? I guarantee you they're talking about me. They are out to get me. Look at that friend. I bet she never wants to talk to me ever again. I don't have any friends. All my friends do things without me. No one invites me anywhere. Nobody likes me. What's the truth? Well, it's possible that somebody hates you, sure, but it's not likely that everybody's against you. What's more likely if you're hearing that lie is that you've got your fist clenched and you're ready to strike. Somewhere in the past, you've developed a defensive posture, an untrusting nature, and now it has become your default. Your walls are up, tall and thick. People have hurt you in the past, so you're not going to let them ever get close to you again. You've taken a vow, whether spoken or unspoken, that you're going to punch people before they punch you. You're going to leave them before they leave you. You're going to slight them before they slight you. That's usually what's behind the lie. The truth is that you need to let the good shepherd lead you by still waters. You need to let him cause you to lie down in green pastures. You need to ask God to refresh your soul and guide you along the righteous paths of healing and restoration for his name's sake. You may be surrounded by pressures and troubles and uncertainties and misunderstandings. But God has set a table for you in the middle of all of this. God's got your back. Jesus is not some noodle-armed weakling. He's the Lord of all creation. All strength and power and authority belong to him. He's King of the universe. When God is walking you through the valley, you can stop worrying about managing all the outcomes. You can stop looking over your shoulder. You can take the boxing gloves off. Back in the season when I first received the Don't Give the Enemy a Seat text, I was speaking at a conference overseas. Some of the conference leaders and team circled up for a prayer in a backstage room. They brought me and the others leading in the next session to the center of the room. People circled us, they laid their hands on us in a very conferring Christ power and provision on us. After the prayer ended, a woman I had never met before walked up to me, began to quietly share something she sensed stirring in her spirit while we prayed. "Someone is trying to trip you up," she said, "but don't worry. God has your back." I got chills, given I was thousands of miles away from home and not a soul there knew the struggle I was going through in our season of church planning. I've never forgotten that moment, and I repeat the phrase when I feel like the tide is turning against me. "Lou, don't worry. God has your back." Have you ever told yourself the truth, particularly in a tense time? When you and I remind ourselves of that truth, we're more prone to lay aside the fears, turn the attention of ourselves, and open our hands and hearts towards helping others. The truth that God is for you and not against you matters greatly. If you don't believe this, you're constantly watching over your shoulder. This action of looking over your shoulder begins to create a false narrative, the image of a world in which you constantly play the victim card. Have you ever met anybody that way? This action of looking over your shoulder begins to create false narrative, the image of a world in which you constantly play the victim card. You miss the freedom and encouragement of accepting the fact that people do love you, To be loved requires that you eventually agree with God and come to love yourself. It's a little scary at first if all you've ever known is me against the world approach. But you weren't made to hate yourself. You were made to know that you are loved. Sorry, but you can't reflect the bounty of all that's on your table if you're walking around with your fists clenched. Psalm 23. Psalm 23 goes on to say in verse 5, "You anoint my head with oil, my cup runs over." The oily head part doesn't make much sense if you don't know much about sheep. The biggest nemesis for a sheep wasn't the big bad wolf, although wolves were a threat for sure, but tiny parasites and flies. The flies, little harbingers of aggravation, would attempt to lay their eggs in the soft tissues of the sheep's nose. Yuck. Can you imagine trying to breathe with a breeding factory of flies in your nostrils? Yikes. The parasites would lodge themselves in the wool around the sheep's eyes and face, causing skin disease and irritation. So the shepherd would cover the sheep's head in oil. The oil provided a protective shield that prevented these irritants from finding safe harbor in the wool around the sheep's face and nose. God, through his word, wants to protect you from aggravation, lies, and deceit. But there's something else. Jesus wants your life to reflect the bounty of your table. He wants your life to overflow. Generosity is the calling card of everyone who dines regularly with the King. You don't hoard God's blessings. You pass out steak dinners to everyone around you, even your enemies. Why? Because you can. You have more than enough at your table. You can lavishly share with everybody, even with those who might hate you. Generosity is impossible with closed fists. You can only give when you have open palms. The table allows you to change the narrative from everybody hates me, everybody is against me, to God is for me, God's got my back. The bounty of the table changes you into an agent of love to those around you. You may be rejected by some, but you'll be surprised how many people around you are also waiting for someone to look up and reach out in love. The Lord Almighty is for you. So everyone is not against you. Don't give the enemy a seat at your table. Thanks for stopping by, and I will see you next week with Kay. God bless.